Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Ramble by Energy Sport, the finest student-run football, fantasy football podcast in the country, rather. Good way to start, slipping up already. My name is Jack Donnelly and we are here to bring you more insightful FPL tips for this weekend's batch of fixtures. As always, our league is still joinable on the official Premier League website. We're aiming for 50 members by the end of the season, so be sure to join with the code DPPRDJ. Also, be sure to follow us over on Twitter at Fantasy Ramble to see our host predictions for the full set of Premier League fixtures this weekend. We're about to hit the busy period with Premier League football over Christmas, so I'd imagine there's going to be a few changes to the lineup over the coming weeks. Maybe potentially could see me dipping out as I've got a lot of work commitments that I'm going to need to go on and do. But you've got me today, and also joining me today, we've got one of the mainstays for what seems like ever, is Struan Garvey. It's good to have you, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very happy. We finished an exam yesterday, so it's
we did indeed.
Getting closer to Christmas.
Closer, one more
it,
to go.
It feels like Christmas now.
It does. I do agree, and I don't like that because We do still have one final assignment to go. But we're feeling all right for it, aren't we?
There's a big butt there, I think. Yeah,
there's a big butt.
It's Mr. O'Neill's assessment, so it comes with a kind of sense of what's the word? I hope he doesn't listen, actually, anyway, but yes.
He's not a football man, as we know.
He's not a football man.
Dr. O'Neill, I'll have you know. Dr. O'Neill, of course. He's not a football man, so it's... Jamie McIntosh is here as well. He's jumped ahead of his...
I've introduced myself there, yeah.
You have. It's nice, though. Sorry, no, that's fine. That. You've been very festive today. You've been putting up your tree in the time before recording, haven't you?
Yes, it was something I wanted to wait to do until we finished our exam, because as Struan has already highlighted, it felt like Christmas as soon as we hit that submit button yesterday. So yes, I wanted to wait to put up my Christmas tree in the house until after the exam. So we did that this afternoon, and feeling very festive now.
What was the first Christmas song you played after an exam yesterday, boys?
I shuffled my playlist and I could not tell you what the first one that came up was.
Wow. Well,
yeah, I can't remember.
Went straight to Mistletoe by Justin Bieber for me. An absolute classic of a Christmas song, if I do say so myself. Good, I'm not hearing arguments. Fantastic.
No, there's no argument to be had there.
We're going to get cracking with some football chat amongst the Christmas nonsense as well. Starting with our first segment, of course, the premium picks. This is where we look at the three biggest fixtures in our eyes from the Premier League weekend and go in depth as to what could happen in these games ahead of our predictions and key player nominations. So we're starting with another derby. Our headline game from last week was the North London derby. We are moving a bit further north and we're going to take a look at the Manchester derby. 5:30 kickoff on Saturday night at Old Trafford. Last week it was wins for both teams. It was a 3-1 win for Manchester United away at West Ham after Bruno Fernandes came off the bench to inspire a comeback. And it was a fairly comfortable 2-0 win for City at home to Fulham in a game where 2-0 might have seen a bit of a conservative scoreline from City standards, but a win's a win at the end of the day. Let's get ahead into the talking points for this one. For me, chaps, I don't know about you, but this has a potential to go either way for me. Like, Struan, I don't know what you think about it as a Man United fan, but United, they're worse off at the moment than City are, but not by much. I mean, they get dumped out of the Champions League midweek. We can all agree that. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer does have a fairly good record against Pep Guardiola and against Manchester City in his time at Manchester United. So how are you viewing this game coming into it?
It's a bit weird. It's one of them that strikes me as, given the positions of the two of them in the league, I think you'd probably say, you know, we've seen how Tottenham, Liverpool, Chelsea are probably labelled as the favourites at the moment. I think for Manchester City, Man United, who are in 6th and 7th place, it's almost one of them where they would just want to take a point. But we've kind of seen with Man United this season, and in just the recent games alone, they're absolutely dreadful in the first half, and it's so strange. A massive loss midweek, because a few absentees going to be for this game. And I think City are starting to find their form again. They had a bit of a rough start, but I think at the moment they'll probably be the ones heading into this with more confidence to try and get the win from this game. They're the away team though, which does sort of make you think, how is this one going to pan out?
True. But
I genuinely think it is one of these where both managers would probably take a point just to get on with the rest of the season, because it's almost one of them where a win would be fantastic, but a loss would just be devastating.
No, I can definitely understand that. I can definitely see that point of view being one that may well be resonating with Solskjaer and Guardiola. Jamie, I feel like City do have a quite a big job ahead of them in the Christmas period, obviously, as the club they're going to be want to be kind of remounting their title challenge and getting back in amongst the front runners for this Premier League title this season. And I feel like they're going to be coming into this one with a fair bit of confidence, even though they did play midweek, but then again, so did Man United. Man United had to sacrifice a lot of kind of fitness for their key men in a must-win game against Leipzig on midweek, whereas City were already through and heavily rotated for some more than even Guardiola's used to, playing the likes of Zach Steffen and goal for Ederson and just not really playing any of the big guns. So it's almost a guarantee that the likes of Kevin De Bruyne, Ederson and Sterling are all going to start against Manchester United. But we just never do know with Guardiola, do we?
No, of course not. I mean, you know, we've been very vocal on this particular podcast about how much we adore Guardiola and trying to decide who's going to start for Manchester City. And look, I suppose it comes across as a good thing from the club's point of view that he has those options, that squad depth. And I think it'll kind of be key. You know, you've highlighted the busy schedule that every team has over Christmas, and this is where I think teams like Liverpool could potentially struggle. You know, we've kind of already seen that they've had a few bad injuries. But to be fair, I mean, the youngsters have come in and have done absolutely fine. They've not looked out of place or anything. So, but you know, obviously, still not ideal for them. So yeah, it's a busy schedule for Manchester City. They've not been great away from home. Recently, you know, that in the league anyway. You know, they've dropped points at Leeds. They've dropped points at West Ham. And Spurs as well, obviously. And, you know, okay, they went and beat Sheffield United like 1-0 or something, you know. It was a little fortuitous, perhaps. Okay, they bossed the game, but, you know, it's kind of still only 1-0 and it still wasn't quite the Man City that maybe we'd been used to seeing. So I think this game could go either way. I think you're right. I mean, Manchester United are, I think, a point above Manchester City at the moment. So, yeah, I'm sure if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was offered a point, that would take them on to 20 points, 4 points off Tottenham. But, you know, if the incentive is there to win, which obviously it will be for both managers, if somebody can get a win in this one, it would hoist them right back into the battle for the title, because obviously they both got a game in hand over those teams above them.
They do. That, I feel like that's something that often gets kind of brushed aside. I certainly forget it a lot, is in the fact that...
Just gets forgotten about, yeah.
Yeah. Because you kind of look at these two, they were meant to start the season, obviously had to get postponed because of their later runs in Europe. And we just kind of always forget it until it will pop up as part of a double game week where triple captains will probably be used more than most in those double game weeks. And I think for you and I, Jamie, we're certainly going to be hoping that our triple captain this year pays off much more than it did last after Manny was a bit of a disaster after getting injured in his first of two games that game week.
Yeah, but it can't get any worse, can it?
It really can't. I mean, we rip into Taylor all the time for getting 3 points off Walker, triple captains, but I mean, we get the exact same from ours. So how it's obviously we've discussed that it's going to be a hard one to kind of see going either way. But are we all going for a draw in that case in terms of a score prediction?
I've gone for a City win. Classic pessimistic.
What a shock.
but do you know why I'm tempted to change my mind? Is because it's the classic once again of there's now doubt over Solskjaer's job, and I think the bookies have now got him joint favourite with Arteta as most likely to be sacked at the moment.
Wow.
And really?
I seen one the other day, so it's a bit crazy. I don't think he is in danger necessarily of losing his job, but when that talk kind of starts up...
He's going to be raking that money in when someone else gets sacked.
Every single time his job is quote-unquote on the line or at risk, they tend to pull a result out of the bag. It's absolutely crazy. So there is always... Which should not be a factor in making a choice in any sort of decision like this, and the fact that he's nearly sacked, this is when they're going to win. But it genuinely has become one with the Solskjaer side. I think the point that was made in midweek as well is we've seen United fall behind to quite a few teams this season, like Southampton and West Ham recently, but obviously United have the quality to come back from those results, whereas against Leipzig when they fell behind, you know, Leipzig are a fantastic side, so there wasn't really that same ability for Man United to produce the comeback. So I think if City do come out the blocks very quick, they could get a 1-2-0 lead like they did against Fulham.
Yep.
And then I think potentially they have the good enough players in that squad to potentially hold out that victory. But it's a weird one. It doesn't really feel like a derby. And I think that is due to there not being any fans at the moment and the fact that both of the clubs are outside of the top four currently.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does feel a bit strange anyway.
No, I can definitely see it. So you're kind of up in the air about what your score prediction is going to be.
I'll go for 2-0 Man City. I'll go for a 2, same as Fulham. That was my example.
You've just compared Man United to Fulham.
Well, consistency wise, they're probably the same in all perfect honesty, to be honest.
Oh, strange. There's a title
over David De Gea.
There's a potential title, isn't it? Man United are the same as Fulham. Paraphrasing you potentially, but
I'm obviously being very harsh because if United were to win their game in hand, they're like 2 points off the top of the table. But
yeah,
I do think there have been a lot of what I call fortunate results this season and signs pointing to good progression, but at the same time, not quite there yet.
Okay. And who's going to be the key man then for City if they are to get a 2-0 win?
I think I'd go Raheem Sterling.
Sterling? Yeah, I could see
that. Yeah, he doesn't really tend to turn up in these sort of Manchester derbies. So I think
this is the one he will.
This will be the one he will, because in the past couple of seasons, I think Aaron Ramsack has kept him quite quiet. But I think maybe this will be the time for him to shine. I think there'll also be that underlying narrative of it's the Kevin De Bruyne versus Bruno Fernandes.
True, you know, yeah.
There's going to be that whichever one of them performs better on the day type situations and whatnot with that.
He just won a November Player of the Month, didn't he, Bruno Fernandes?
Yeah, it's his third one of 2020. And he only arrived in February.
It is unprecedented. Like, he is an unbelievable player, and he genuinely has transformed this team, even in short cameos, as we saw last weekend, where he came off the bench at half-time and just completely changed the fortunes of Man United. So
he's basically the manager at this point.
Yeah, he's genuinely shouting at Ollie to make subs like from the middle of the park. So I think he'd probably... Some might argue do a better job in the hot seat than Ollie would, but... That's for
not to make the point. We know my feelings.
We do know your feelings. Well documented podcasts. Those feelings. Jamie, how about you? How do you see this one going?
Yeah, Stu makes a good point about kind of United kind of turning up. And I think United's kind of character gets questioned a lot. And then you sort of look at these big games where they kind of do seem to kind of turn up maybe when the pressure's on them. And, you know, I think United have won their last four games now. I mean, the fifth one, the most recent one that they didn't win was that apocalyptic display at home to Arsenal. And it was just a terrible game of football. So, all right. I mean, as Struan says, a win and they go 2 points off the top. If you say that they've played all the same amount of games as everybody else, but obviously everybody else is playing this weekend as well, so they will still have that game in hand. So I think whoever can get a win this weekend will be a lot better off than it's obviously a stupid point, but you know, will be a lot better off than maybe the teams around them are just now, because they'll have that game in hand. So yeah, it's a huge game. I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm not a huge fan of watching either of them, to be honest. but I do think this one has the potential to be quite a good game. And I think United are possibly being overlooked a little bit at home. I know there's no fans, and I know that it's maybe not as big a game as maybe it normally is, as Struan's highlighted, with both teams maybe not performing to the best of their ability. But I do think that United might just edge this one. Previously, I've kind of thought that in these games, United haven't really had a ball carrier or somebody to kind of keep hold of the ball like De Bruyne does for Man City. And now they've got Bruno Fernandes in there. I think that they might find it a bit easier to maybe get out when the pressure's maybe on them. I do think they might have that quality to kind of get them up the park a bit more. I'm intrigued to see the kind of starting lineups, to see who Ole Gunnar Solskjaer goes with. Struan said that there's going to be changes from the game during the week. And obviously you would expect changes from Guardiola,
yep,
from the midweek side that beat Marseille. So I'm intrigued to see the starting 11, see where Pogba fits in. Obviously, United played a bit better when...
if he plays.
Well, that's what I mean. Obviously, he came on during the week, and I'm not saying he changed the game, but United, you know, were I think 3-0 down when he came on, and it finished 3-2. So, Well, that's something for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to think about. Does
a
he
head scratcher.
Start with a team that finished in Leipzig? Or?
I think the entire system to start with at Leipzig was very, very strange. Going five at the back, conceding after 2 minutes, and staying five at the back to then go 2-0 down after 10 minutes. To then wait until you go 3-0 down and then decide it's time to...
Oh, he's getting aggy. Here he goes. So says I'm going to get it again, isn't he?
See, to be perfectly honest, right, and this is the last thing I'm going to say in the end, because I've already spent too much on it, is you genuinely have no idea what system is going to be played or formation or that or players are going to be used. When you think of Liverpool, you know it's exactly, it's going to be a 4-3-3, and you know what players are going to be used in positions. Even when Liverpool have injuries, it's the same system. It's just different players fill in. You know, even under Lampard now, you know it's going to be the 4-3-3 with certain mainstays situated in the team. You can see it with Tottenham. With United, you don't know if you're going to get a five at the back, if you're going to get a 4-2-3-1, a diamond in midfield. It just seems to change every week, and I don't see how you can build consistency when even the goalkeeper is starting to change back and forth now as well. But yeah,
That's a good thing, though, because that means that, you know, so much is done by analyzing. I saw this in the Spurs documentary, and it was like so much is done of watching the opposition in the week up to the leading up to the game at the weekend, and you're watching how they played the weekend before. I think on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I was just trying to outfox his opposite number and say, well, you don't have a clue what way we're gonna play. I don't have a clue what way we are gonna play. So how are you
that
supposed
is,
to know?
Is a legitimate tactic. Like if you don't know what you're gonna do with a team, like in what
well, if
in
I
what
if
way
I don't
is the
know
opponent
what I'm doing,
gonna know?
How are you gonna know? Solskjaer's
playing 4D chess.
It's all part of the mind games. If he comes across clueless, then there's no transparency with Solskjaer. He's not a Bielsa who'll just read out his starting 11 regardless. He'll just leave it all up in the air and have Guardiola guessing. But Guardiola doesn't seem to out anyone that plays fantasy football. So
yep.
The glove fits both, I suppose. Who's going to be the key?
I never actually gave you a score prediction. I said United were going to sneak it. So I'll say 2-1 United with 2-1 United. Bruno Fernandes. I took him out of my team actually this week, I think.
Bold.
I think I actually replaced him with De Bruyne, which is weird because I'm actually going with a Manchester United win. But 2-1 United and Bruno Fernandes to do something.
Fair enough. No, I think I'm undecided on this game completely. I'm going to go right down the middle. 2-2 draw. That's my prediction. I can definitely see it. I mean, both teams have scored recently, but they've also been conceding. And fair enough, City have kept kind of clean sheets, but those are like against Sheffield United and Fulham. It's not the same as Manchester United, where you've got someone like Bruno who literally can just pick apart any team he chooses to. So, I don't know. And Man United's defence has been asked a number of questions which they don't tend to have answers to most of the time, by attacks much more menial and much less competent than City's is. So I can just see both teams scoring, but neither team keeping a clean sheet, which makes me just kind of go score, draw, 2-2 in the middle and kind of leave it at that. Just both teams get a point and then try and get their way back up the table with their games in hand, really.
Just before you
West
move
Ham
on.
3-0 up. Haller yeah. slipped and Wan-Bissaka made an unbelievable challenge to stop Bowen, I think it was. You know, if that's Sterling, Jesus, Aguero, Torres, Mahrez, it's the goals every day of the week. Mm.
Just before you move on, I mean, obviously, it's worth noting that Sergio Aguero returned for Manchester City during the week. I think he came off the bench against against Marseille. I would be very surprised if he started, but, you know, it's obviously a very good player to bring on.
Absolutely.
If it's kind of a draw or City are behind, you know, it's good that they've got him to come off the bench if required.
If required, of course, yeah, because there's no guarantee that they will even need him, which is quite good when you can leave a player of Aguero's credibility and quality on the bench in a game like this. We are going to move on, and we're going to talk about the second of our premium picks this week, which involves our team, me and Jamie. It's Chelsea's match away to Everton on Saturday at the late kickoff at 8 p.m. away up at Goodison Park. It was a 1-1 draw for Everton after going behind very early on to Burnley last weekend at Turf Moor, while Chelsea also conceded early but battled back and looked fairly comfortable in a 3-1 victory. For me, boys, Everton just now, they're not what they were at the start of the season, and I don't really know why. I think that it could have been potentially injuries to various players and suspensions for various players have just disrupted the flow that they were kind of building on from those early stages of the season, and they're just really struggling to find form and nail on. Like, a proper nail on a run that kind of can see them push up to where they were at the start. But they are going to come into this one fully rested after last weekend. Of course, they didn't play midweek. Chelsea did. Do we think this is going to be a contributing factor into how Everton play this weekend? Do you think they'll kind of grasp at the fact that they've had longer to prepare, longer to rest, longer to really capitalise on the fact that Chelsea were playing midweek to get ahead in this game?
Not really. I think Chelsea made enough changes during the week.
Yeah.
You had guys like, you know, I don't think Abraham will start on...
Or do you not?
Probably not. I could see them going with Giroud.
Fair enough.
Well, I mean, Giroud was obviously on the bench when Abraham started. Mm-hmm. Is that not a sign to suggest that if you look at the rest of the team, you know, they brought guys like Jorginho in, Emerson came in, Azpilicueta came in, Billy Gilmore came in, Kepa came in. Is that not something that would suggest that this is not the team that's going to play on?
Yeah, no, 100%.
To play on
yeah.
Saturday. So for me, I could see Giroud starting. So I think Chelsea made enough changes during the week. You know, obviously it wasn't, they only needed a point at home to Krasnodar to top the group, which they achieved.
Didn't, they didn't actually need anything because...
Oh, I thought they needed a point.
No, because their win against
Sevilla
was...
They had a better head-to-head
than Sevilla.
Of course. So, you know, look, I think they made enough changes during the week to suggest that, you know, that I'm not sure fitness is going to be too much of a factor going into the game at Goodison. But, you know, that's necessary because, you know, obviously it's a very tough place to go.
Yeah, it's quite a hard place to go. But Struan, you brought up a point just in our group chat just before we started recording about Chelsea and Goodison Park.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was a certain Athletic writer who made the point that Chelsea tend to win at Goodison Park when they're going to win the title. And as I mentioned earlier, I think there's three teams who probably are in the title race, and I don't see why Chelsea couldn't win it. And I think
those three teams are
Tottenham, Chelsea, and Liverpool, I believe.
Man City not perhaps in the title race for you then?
The reason why I don't think City are in the title race is not to do with necessarily them not having the quality, but the
teams,
way they've already sort of played against the other teams at the top, I feel they've already thrown away points that they needed to pick up. You know, that result against Tottenham I think is quite poor. Getting a draw to Liverpool, I think looking back on it, you know, they'd maybe have hoped to have a bit more, especially with the injury crisis that Liverpool were going through at the time and the way the both managers cancelled out, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at home, sorry. And, you know, results to Leeds and a massive loss to Leicester. I feel those are the type of results that come the end of the season, you look back and you think, oh, they needed to do better there because, City are always going to beat from 10th place down in the league. That's just how it is. So it's the results against the bigger teams. Whereas, you know, you look at Chelsea who have gotten the result against Tottenham so far and Liverpool who are still to play Tottenham, but Liverpool have gotten results against other big teams so far like Arsenal and that. So I'll get back to actually Chelsea here. I think this will be a really good game. I think Everton are quite entertaining. I think the problem is, though, that they have only really got 11 good players, and any more than two or three injuries to that squad and they're completely useless. I think what will be interesting about this game as well is you'd think any team coming up against, you know, a top four, you'd probably want to sit back a little bit, but I don't think Everton's defence is good enough for that, especially when that Chelsea front three you're talking could be Timo Werner, Giroud, Pulisic, maybe even Havertz as part of it. I don't think anyone in that defence, because Dinya's out as well at the moment. I think Coleman might still be out, which is backup fullbacks. And then I don't think the centre-backs are particularly good, nor Pickford. So I think if Everton want to get something from this game, they'll have to attack. So I think it'll be a really, really good game to watch.
And Jamie, of course, this is a Chelsea team that have just kind of surprised with how defensively resolute they've been. So do you think they'll be able to hold firm against that Everton team that are more willing to attack than some others? Or do you think it's going to be a bit harder for them to do so, especially when a player like Dominic Calvert-Lewin has been in such a hot streak of form and that doesn't seem to be dipping anytime soon?
I think it'll be a really tough game for Chelsea. Everton are rubbish, in my opinion. And that's pretty much why I think they probably could easily get something off Chelsea this weekend. It's because I'm coming out and saying that they're rubbish.
I said that
I wasn't going to get Calvert-Lewin into my team because I kind of had a feeling that their form would, his and the team's form would dip eventually. Mm-hmm. And it has, you know, I mean, going back to the middle of October, you know, they drew with Liverpool. They were lucky to draw with Liverpool. Liverpool obviously scored that very late goal that, you know, should have stood. I'm not sure we can really have too many arguments about it. It was and obviously Pickford should have been sent off. R.I.P. Virgil. Then obviously they
and Thiago.
Then obviously they lost at St. Mary's, when they were missing players, looked very poor. Lost at St. James's Park, looked very poor. Lost to Man United, and I think United actually looked all right that day, to be fair. I seem to recall it was an early kickoff, and I thought Man United were actually okay that day. And then they were quite lucky to beat Fulham. You know, they beat Fulham 3-2, and that's been their only win since the start of October. Yeah, exactly. You know, lost at home to Leeds and then drew away to Burnley. So, you know, their form has really dipped. And I think this is more where... I think they sit ninth in the league now. This is where I think Everton should probably be this season. You know, I think they've got a half-decent squad, but I think it's a half-decent squad. Mm-hmm. We don't think their defence is good enough, and we don't think their goalkeeper's good enough. We've said it plenty of times. It's all very well scoring goals. Everton have scored 20 goals, which is, I think, maybe fifth or sixth most in the league. But they've conceded 18, which is more than, well, apart from Leeds. It's everybody that's conceded more is down in 16 for lower. Yeah. So, you know, the defence isn't good enough. It's kind of simple as that, really. So I think Chelsea will get plenty of opportunities. But Chelsea need to make sure they take the chances. You know, Chelsea have scored 25 goals in 11 games. They've conceded 11, which is an average on one a game. So you would think that if anything is to go by this game, then both teams will score. I think Chelsea will win.
Yeah, no, I think we will, yeah.
But, you know, if Everton were to take points off Chelsea, it wouldn't surprise me too much because I think Everton are due a result, if that makes sense.
No, it does,
But I do think I'll go with a Chelsea score. Scoring win. So 2-2 or 3-1, I think.
2 or 3-1.
I think one thing about Everton going forward is, other than James Rodriguez and Digne, the left back, I don't really see anyone else in that team who I would consider to be creative.
Can I just add to Everton? Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Sorry, Struan. Can I just add to Everton fans' just despair, because I've just clicked onto my transfer sheet for fantasy just to see, because I've not made my transfer yet. James Rodriguez is out.
Is he?
Calf injury expected back 16th of December. That is what Fantasy is telling me just now.
That's going to fit right into the point I'm about to make.
Oh, fantastic. Well, please carry on.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I look at that Everton team, and as I was saying, I think James Rodriguez and Lucas Digne, who's the left back, who's also injured, as James Rodriguez, as we've just found out live on air, is also injured. I don't see anyone else in that team who you would say is that Kevin De Bruyne and that Bruno Fernandes, Messi, whatever, who could create a goal. And although Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I think, is a very good striker, arguably being the best one in the league,
he needs to
he's very much a six-yard box, a fox in the box.
Yeah,
he's not going
to pick before,
the ball up from deep. Yeah, he's not like a Timo Werner who's going to latch onto a loose ball and just drive with like unbelievable pace. He's just sort of going to wait for the opportunity to arrive. And I think Charleston's quite a good player, but he's quite selfish.
The difference is Calvert-Lewin's been taking his chances.
Yeah,
true.
I think
Timo Werner can create them, but not.
You know what? You know what? I think this is going to be Timo's weekend. To be honest, he's still going to be in because I need to get. Unfortunately, I need to get rid of Raul and now Rodriguez. So could be a wee points hit this weekend, boys. After playing my free hit last week, which is a bit annoying. But how do you see it going then, Struan? Have you got a score prediction for us?
I have gone 3-0 Chelsea, as we've sort of slated Everton. Wow. I think they've deserved the slate, and I think. I look at this game as a midfield as well, and although Everton do have a good midfield, I think the Chelsea midfield is just better. I think this is going to be one of those games where Kante will basically just sit on either Richarlison or Calvert-Lewin and take one of them out of the game, and then that'll basically be it. I think the other winger will probably be Iwobi or maybe Bernard, who are both very average players in my opinion, which I think will give the likes of Chilwell and Reece James so much freedom to just go forward. And
it could have a field day, I think, the fullbacks at Chelsea.
I think it really could. I think, was it 4-0 in this fixture just before lockdown at the start of the year?
Yep.
And they were excellent.
Mason Mount did Chunk's celebration on that day, I believe. So
he did. That was a Frankenstein. That was a Frankenstein day.
That would be very... They, of course, had...
Billy Gilmour's Premier League debut that day as well.
Fun fact about
Billy Gilmour. He's been man of the match in every competition he's been debuted in the first team. One man of the match in the FA Cup against Liverpool, Premier League against Everton, and in the Krasnodar game there.
So what we're doing is the Scotland international team, we're going to play him versus England in our group game for his debut so he can win man of the match, meaning we
Clever.
Will probably
I like
be good.
I like it.
That is the plan, Clark. But I think Chelsea will absolutely have a field day in this one, to be perfectly
and
honest.
I never want to say Chelsea have a field day because they never end up doing it after. But I am like increasingly confident of a win.
Just, I can't see us keeping a clean sheet, though.
No, I don't see us keeping a clean sheet, especially when we concede quite easily to Leeds last weekend. It was a very simple goal for Leeds to score. It was a great ball up the field by Calvin Phillips, but then
Mendy just got no man's land. First real mistake in a Chelsea shirt, I think you could say.
Which
I think he's been
good.
Very good since he's come in.
I think that Chelsea
in.
Defense needs still to have a proper testing. Even playing the likes of Tottenham and stuff like that, I don't think there's been one of those games where Chelsea have been, you know, backs to the wall type situation.
That which is interesting to me.
So I think it just shows how dominant Chelsea have been with the ball. And as I was pointing about midfield, I think the Chelsea midfield in this game probably will dominate the majority of possession, to be perfectly honest.
That's what I've got. My key player in this one's Mount, because I think Mount, it's a fixture that's been set up for him, because I think in the past few weeks, he's been increasingly important in terms of end product. You saw a lot of kind of crosses he was putting into the box against Leeds, and they were just going past the man just wasn't able to get there in time. And I don't know, I feel like he's just going to have added that just kind of final ball to his end product. He's been taking corners a lot better. Chelsea are kind of some of the highest scoring teams in terms of corners, when last season it was highest conceding teams from corners. So it's kind of going well for Chelsea in that favour. So I think he's very hard working, which we always say about Mason Mount. He's one of the kind of hardest working players on the pitch. And if he's starting to add his end product into that, he can really start doing damage to teams. And I think Everton's a perfect chance for him to get some numbers on the board. So I've gone for a 2-1 to Chelsea personally. I just think it might still be quite difficult for Chelsea just to kind of get going in this game. We saw against Leeds, so they were going straight from the outset, but then they've just kind of overcommitted a bit too early and allowed Leeds to quickly counter and get the goal, and then they had to reassess their entire game plan and then come back out and get the 3 points. But I don't know. I feel like it could be a bit more of a test. But if Everton are missing two of their most creative players and their wing-backs aren't really going to be much of a match for ours, I could see it going more comfortably in Chelsea's favour than I'm perhaps predicting. But that's just my thoughts anyway.
I've gone 3-0 Chelsea, team of honour, to be the man of the match.
3-1 Chelsea.
3-1, you've settled on 3.
3-1. And if Christian Pulisic starts, then you know, obviously Ziyech. Obviously Ziyech is injured, so you know, just depends on if Pulisic is kind of deemed fit enough to start. He did come on for Ziyech last weekend against Leeds and
got a goal.
Yeah, and obviously didn't play during the week, I don't think, against Krasnodar, so he's had a week's kind of training to hopefully get himself up to fitness. So hopefully Pulisic will start, and if he starts, then he'll be my key player.
You think he'll start on the right?
I did
then?
Watch Ben. Oh, sorry, go on.
Do you think he'll start on the right if we play Giroud and play Timo Werner off the left again?
Probably. Yeah.
It would make sense. So, Tom Hudson at the least scratching his head, wondering what he needs to do to actually get a game again.
I was watching that Ben Godfrey, who was sort of filling in as the right back for Everton in recent matches, and I thought he was pretty poor as a fullback. And so I think whether it is Pulisic or Werner, whoever's on that left-hand side, I think we'll get quite a lot of luck. Right. I think it's Nkulu who'll be the left-back as well, or because I think Fabian Delph's injured as well. You just kind of forget.
He is,
yeah, you're right.
So I think both fullbacks, and mentioned earlier about the Chelsea ones overlapping a lot, I think there'll be so many crosses in this game and just so much 1v1s. Probably just see Werner blitzing past the fullback about twice.
Hopefully get
we spoke about that in Kunku previously, though, and he wasn't even on the bench at Burnley, because I think we spoke about this.
We did, didn't we? Yeah.
Prior to the Burnley game.
Awobi was filling in at fullback that game.
I think Awobi was playing right wing-back at one point fairly recently, was he not?
I think Delph played right wing time against Burnley. And then I think Godfrey moved from right back to left back. And then Iwobi came as the right wing back. And I think Holgate was in there somewhere.
Yeah,
as well.
The only time Nkunku has played this season was away to Newcastle.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't even on the bench against Burnley, though. And obviously then Delph went off injured. Yeah. So whether he's going to come straight into the starting 11 or start on the bench, and if they'll play Godfrey right back again, or whether they'll go back free with Godfrey, Keane and Mina, I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows? I'm looking forward to this one. And a nice precursor, a nice warm up to the Anthony Joshua fight on Saturday night, of course.
Yeah.
We'll move
can
on.
Can I change my prediction?
I'll go on then. Yeah, just before we move on.
See, the more we've just been talking, I'm gonna up it to another 4-0
Oh my
Chelsea, because
God.
I do not see Everton. See, just talking about the defence there, I'm just thinking, I don't understand.
Struan,
Like,
the
no, I
confidence
think
you've got in Chelsea is unbelievable. I wish I had
you.
I, as the
captain
Chelsea
Werner
fan,
every week as
I wish
well.
I had your confidence, mate, honestly.
I have to admit, one of the main reasons I captain Werner is more FOMO in the fact that as soon as I take him off, he's going to bang in a hat trick.
Yeah,
I'll say
sense.
Something negative about Chelsea, though, if you just want. I do move on.
Oh, no, right. If you want to finish it on a negative point, finish it on, what's bad about Chelsea?
The fan base.
Us. Yeah. Me and you, Jamie. Struan doesn't
Billy
like
Gilmore
this
isn't getting enough game time. There's a bad thing.
Well, he's only just come back from the injury, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
In the last couple of weeks, and Lampard has kind of dispelled rumours.
Maybe
of him going
maybe
out
it's not so much Mendy being good. Maybe it's the defence. I personally think the likes of like the back four of Thiago Silva, Zuma, Chilwell, and Reece James.
Yes.
I think is a very good back four.
Oh, I love it! Anytime someone talks up Kurt Zuma, that just increases my serotonin because I just it fits my agenda so perfectly.
He's one of the top scorers in the league.
Yeah, he would be a very good shout actually, because
for fantasy,
I think he
yeah,
is.
I think.
He's
he
gone
scored
up.
So many headers.
He's,
it's unbelievable.
He's currently joint
seventh,
with,
if I'm right? No.
Teams just
no,
keep leaving
like
him
Jimenez,
unmarked.
Mahrez, Sadio Mane, Timo Werner, James Ward-Prowse,
Jesus.
And Jared Bowen on 4 goals this season.
He's got double what Aubameyang's got. Let's just
yeah.
Let's move
one
on
of
at that point.
Was a penalty.
So in that we've decided that Kurt Zouma is twice the striker that Aubameyang is.
He could
numbers.
Beat Arsenal. He could beat Arsenal on his own. I said
sure
I wasn't going
to
get drawn into
Arsenal
an Arsenal discussion, but
we're not really having a discussion.
Yeah,
we're just more insulting them at this point.
Just slate them, out.
Yeah, classic.
Well, Zouma, of course, is ex-Everton, so would he celebrate? You know, he was on there for loan that season.
Nah, he definitely.
Probably
well, there's
won.
No fans there anyway, so it's not like he's going to go up and like shush the fans.
I don't know.
There's
I thought
nobody
Liverpool
there.
Liverpool are fans,
maybe.
So.
Oh, are they getting fans at Goodison then?
Oh,
I
yeah,
suppose
yeah,
this is the first game ever.
Because Anfield
played,
had
yeah.
fans, yeah.
Yeah.
It
what
might
about
be a bit
Manchester?
To Timothy Weah where you start to celebrate and then you suddenly realise, oh, no, no.
What about Manchester? Is there fans? Is
nah,
there
Manchester's
tier
three.
Nah.
It's no fans.
Oh.
Nah.
Well, here's hoping.
It's a bit unfair, though, I think, because you'd only really have United fans in that kind of derby, which I think would be really unfair.
Yeah.
Yeah, derbies
yeah,
are weird
right.
with like only one side of fans. That's it's a
yeah.
weird concept to put your head around.
That's clearly the reason that Arsenal lost to Tottenham.
Oh yeah, uh-huh. Because
oh,
it was
yeah.
such a hostile atmosphere with 2,000 fans inside the 60,000
fan
seats.
Well,
that's
what put Bellerin off when he was trying to take throw and
couldn't come. What Arsenal fan TV with DT Dana's Michael Jackson impressions, like booting chairs and everything.
There was a few abusive lines thrown towards Harry Kane as well, I believe.
Probably was, sure. Yeah. Well. That well, I hope for my own agenda that Kurt Zouma does have a big performance, and I think he will because he's the best player in the Chelsea squad. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about the third of our premium picks, which is we kind of had a bit of a struggle to kind of pick. It's not the best batch of fixtures this weekend. There's only kind of one or two high profile ones, but tonight's fixture on Friday night, as we're recording, does have a wee bit of intrigue behind it. Leeds versus West Ham at Elland Road, kicking off tonight at 8 PM. It was a 3-1 loss for both teams, and we've already mentioned to who. Leeds losing away to Chelsea and West Ham losing to Manchester United at home. Struan, Bielsa's been as transparent as he possibly can be. He's already named his starting 11. Why do you think he was like this? Why do you think he just openly admitted his starting 11 in a press conference, and do we think he's going to stick to it come game day tonight?
I think Bielsa is just a classic, just like... This is going to sound so cringy, and I know this, but I think he's just almost like a good, hard man. Like, he won't try any sneaky tactics. He wouldn't try and outwit another manager. He would just be straight out like, yeah, this is the team I'm going to play. I'm giving these guys the chance. He's going to play there. Like, yeah, this is what I want to do. You know, I don't need my mind games or whatever. I'm just going to go and let my team,
yeah.
you know,
Apart
play you.
Spying
and he always
on
has
other
his...
managers.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
He's a really good guy. He doesn't try any sneaky tricks or anything. He definitely doesn't hire spies or anything to go and spy on other
Sometimes
teams.
He's a good guy. Sometimes he's a not-so-good guy. But, yeah, okay, I realise my point is very much thrown off with that. But, no, I think it's
yeah.
really funny. I think Bielsa is such a likeable guy. I remember his first few press conferences when Leeds were in the championship. And the interviewer asked him a question, which was then translated to him in Spanish. Which he then said in Spanish to the translator to then translate back to him so he could then say it in English. And it was like, It's just you just never saw anything like that before. You know, someone who's clearly, I think it was Patrick Bamford who made the point that like he doesn't do the press conferences in English because he doesn't want to offend people with his not so great English, which is a bit kind, but yeah, it's just crazy. I think it's hard not to like Bielsa and the way he does things, and especially just outright just saying your team. It's absolutely fantastic. It's just like slating a player, you know, like, oh, how did you get on in training yesterday? It was like, yeah, we did okay. Patrick Bamford was absolutely awful, though. We missed four setters. I'm probably going to drop him at the weekend, to be perfectly honest. It's just, you just wouldn't expect that in modern football, would you?
No, not really. I mean, there is just that much kind of element of secrecy and not wanting to give anything away just in modern football, but he does kind of hark it back to just being straight up, which, I mean, is that the reason you're so overly reliant on the one gif on Twitter, Struan?
Do you know what? That gif just fits.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't, mate.
It fits so many
situations. It doesn't. It's literally just him smiling and looking at a camera. That's all it is.
And walking. He's also walking.
Oh, he's walking. Oh, because you've never seen a manager smile at a camera while walking before, have you?
I just got the, oh, new railings vibe.
Oh, new railings. That's what it is. No.
I just feel like it's just such a good gift. I don't know why. I genuinely don't know why.
But you've There's been so limited. Many... You've been limited on use. You've already used your one allocation of it this month.
Yeah.
So we don't see... If anyone listening to this podcast sees Struan on Twitter, at Garvey2000, using the gift of Marcelo Bielsa from now until the end of December, cancel them.
Month back. So,
does that mean you can't use it until next year?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's really going to want to as well. I know for a fact he's going to want to use it when quote tweeting this podcast after it goes off.
I'm going to try and find another gif of somebody doing a very similar thing, but it not being Bielsa.
Well, now you've said that, I'm going to know exactly what to look out for. Anyway, we should probably talk about the game.
So, what game are we talking about again?
Leeds West Ham. Jamie, as we could already discussed when talking about Manchester United, the West Ham looked really good in that first half and probably should have been up by more than one goal. Are we expecting them to bounce back in this game, or is it still going to be a fairly tricky test against Leeds?
It will be a tough test. We spoke a few times now about Leeds and are they all there cracked up to be, and then they went and got a good result away to Everton. They couldn't beat Arsenal with 10 men, heavy defeats to Leicester and Palace and Chelsea now. So, and then, you know, again, you go back even further and they got that really good result at Aston Villa, who were doing very well at the time. So, I don't know. I don't really know what to expect from this one. It's two relatively inconsistent teams. But I think if you want to put a line through West Ham's recent result against Manchester United, then you could probably fancy the Hammers for this one, because they beat a half-decent Aston Villa team despite probably being outplayed for a vast majority of the game. And then two 1-0 victories over Sheffield United and Fulham, where obviously two teams that aren't the best, but West Ham's defence has been pretty leaky kind of throughout last season as well. And the fact that they kind of managed to keep a couple of clean sheets should give them confidence. And yeah, I mean, they probably should have been out of sight against United. So if you want to put a line through that one, then, you know, they were free unbeaten going into that United game. So it's a tough one to call, I think, to be honest. And I think it's probably the perfect time for me to come in with my first 1-1 of the
day. Yeah, there we go. So thank you. That's what we have you on for.
I think that's what I'll go for. Just because I think it's kind of quite a tough one to call. It could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
So straight down the middle, I think, for me. And we've kind of spoken about how there is, both teams kind of have created chances. You know, West Ham have scored 18 goals in 11 games. Leeds have scored 16. Yeah, I think they've both kind of scored. They both average in like scoring one a game and conceding one a game. So I think it looks pretty good for a 1-1 prediction, to be honest. I think that's what I'll go for. I think it looks set, a dead cert to be a 1-1.
That's your banker. That's your Joel Sked banker.
That is my Joel Sked banker of the week, is West Ham and Leeds United to be 1-1 this evening.
But as banker bust work, you never go for a draw for your banker because you can't pick between the two teams.
Never mind an actual correct score draw as well. I'm going real
He's staking his name on this, isn't he?
The reputation.
I like it. Struan, how about yourself? Because I'm the same as Jamie, to be honest. It's two teams in a very similar situation, personally. Just the numbers speak for themselves in terms of conceded goals scored. How do you view it? How are you kind of sizing this one up?
Yeah, I agree with basically everything that's been said with it, to be honest. I've also said a draw. I've gone for a 2-2 draw. Probably Patrick Bamford's going to turn up again. But for West Ham, for example, I've been really impressed with them this season. I just think they've got a really good team. I think they've got the system that they currently play, I think, suits them so well. And they just play some really good football, as do Leeds United, of course, as well. And yeah, I think it'll be a really interesting game. David Moyes versus Marcelo Bielsa. Who I think might be the... No. I was going to say the two oldest managers in the Premier League. Hodgson exists.
Hodgson does exist. Sometimes forget that, don't we?
I think Ancelotti may also actually be older than Moyes. But anyway, yeah, I think it'll be a good game to watch, actually, even as a draw.
Yeah.
Because I think it's
is this Friday night? Is this on Sky or BBC or what's this on?
Sky, I believe. On
something
Friday night.
Something tells me. It's Sky tonight, yeah.
It's Sky tonight. Excellent.
Tonight? There's me saying it's Friday night. Yeah, it is tonight.
Unfortunately, I will not be watching it. It's Air United on the telly, so...
Some comedy on the BBC tonight.
Thanking you. That's enough of that. I think I'd have to agree. I think a 1-1 just kind of screams the right result for this one. If I had to give it to either team, I don't know, I'd probably give it to Leeds if I was going to predict a winner. I feel like in the last few weeks they have been attacking a lot, but they've just like not been as clinical, and I think that has to turn a corner eventually. So... no reason why it couldn't be against West Ham. Right, that kind of does it for our premium picks. We're now going to come on to our wildcard options. This is our second segment where we look at three games that don't have as much to talk about as the premium picks, but still do deserve a mention for at least a couple of reasons. We'll start with the other game we would have kind of chucked in for our third option for premium picks, which is Wolves-Aston Villa. For me, again, it's two fairly similar teams coming together in terms of where they are just now, how they've been playing, how their results kind of been up and down. Some good news as well for Wolves fans. It was nice to see Raul Jimenez discharged from hospital and was able to visit the training ground, Wolves training ground this week as well, which it was just really nice to see him out of hospital and kind of him saying on Twitter again, I think today, that he's planning on being back very soon. So it's just a bit of reassurance and a bit of good news for Wolves fans, in my view anyway.
I think it's just really good for the kind of wider... the wider football audience as well. Obviously, yes, it's Wolves fans really want their star striker back as soon as possible. But, you know, as far as the kind of footballing world is concerned, it's just great to see that doesn't look like it's going to be a kind of career ending injury or anything, which is obviously the main thing. A player's safety comes first. And a lot of people are obviously very vocal, and it's opened up a new can of worms altogether about the kind of debate of head injuries. Just period, you know, I can't remember one. I think it was Terry Butcher had come out and said, you know, he was encouraging footballers to not be like him. And obviously there's that iconic picture of Terry Butcher in an England shirt where he's, you know, covered in blood and all that, trying to play on and act all this, you know, warrior guy and all that. And he's saying, you know, don't do that. You know, that was stupid, and, you know, safety comes first and all that. So I think it's just really, really positive to see that Jimenez is hopefully anyway going to be able to play football again, and that's something that maybe on Sunday night.
Saturday
morning, I think, this game.
Saturday, lunchtime kickoff tomorrow.
No, I meant the Arsenal game. Sorry.
Oh, the Arsenal game.
The Wolves Arsenal game where he got injured.
Oh,
was it Saturday
that was
or Sunday
Monday.
Night?
Monday night,
right? I just mean like whenever that game was, you know, there was a time where we maybe thought that it could have potentially been a kind of career-ending injury because it obviously didn't look good at the time. So it's just obviously very good to see that he was able to, it doesn't appear to be possibly as serious as first feared.
It's also the same one that Ryan Mason suffered a few years ago as well, which I think was almost that the precursor. You kind of think like, oh, you know, it was obviously ended his career, and I think a lot of people were probably worried that
of course.
The same would be with Raul Jimenez. I think as well, it's probably important to know that like David Luiz as well, who was also involved in that crash, I think he's still out at the moment.
Double check.
He played on though, did he not?
He played on until half time.
Yeah,
then he took him off.
He played on for the first half for some bizarre reason, and then.
But this is the whole debate. This is the whole debate. Is like people are saying, you know, why did he play on?
Agreed.
Never should have been. And this is where somebody, I think, possibly on extra time, opened it up about their big shout. I think it was Graham said, you know, this is where we should have independent doctors here, about saying, you know, like obviously the club doctors are saying, you know, we really need you to play on here. So possibly overlooking the kind of the safety aspect of things, whereas if there's a kind of neutral medical officer on the pitch that says, no way, you're not playing on, then, you know, that's the end of the matter. So yeah, definitely a new can of worms opened up there with regards to head injuries and player safety.
No, absolutely. I don't know. I could see this one going either way, to be honest. Wolves Aston Villa, it's just a very just kind of neutral game for me. Could still be quite entertaining. I might give it to Villa just because obviously without Jimenez, Wolves might struggle to score a bit more. They did manage to without Jimenez against Arsenal, but then were kind of blown out the water by Liverpool. But I don't know. At the Molyneux, had Birmingham get or whatever Wolves are from. Are they gonna get in fans back or do we know?
I don't think Wolves have fans.
It's quite
I
far
suppose
north.
Both.
Yeah, is it not? That's like Midlands, I think. So I don't
yeah,
think
they're
kind of
like Derby-ish, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that's Midlands. That's actually a bit of a Derby, I think, Villa and Wolves.
Yeah, I think it is
a little bit. Yeah.
I know the main rivals are like West Brom and Birmingham, I think, but obviously they're not. Well, West Brom aren't Premier League.
Yeah,
Villa's
actually,
Villa,
Brom, yeah.
Villa's main rivals obviously aren't there, so.
Birmingham. We'll move on to the second game of the three in wildcard options. We've got Southampton taking on Sheffield United at St Mary's. The biggest news for this one, I suppose, Danny Ings is potentially going to be back. Should he start? Or is that like really harsh on Che Adams, who's been performing fantastically ever since Ings took that injury?
You not start
Che Adams?
I don't know what it depends. What
they were playing 4-4-2 before when Ings was available.
Yeah, yeah.
They played 4-4-2 when they beat West Brom 2-0. The pair of them started up front.
I would move Walcott into Gineppo's place, and I'd put Ings in up there because I think Walcott and Chetham's have been very good.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, Ings is just phenomenal at the moment. Massive Ings is a very, very good striker, so I think it's one of them where neither Che Adams nor Walcott deserves to be dropped. So
no,
just
agreed.
Drop somebody else.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, does definitely make sense. Another Southampton win, then we're expecting this because I mean Sheffield United are just
bad
for lack of a better word, hopeless.
they were all like the way they lost that game at Leicester to me just screamed this team are going down.
Yeah.
Like I know I'm probably very wrong in saying this, but you have to bring Jamie Vardy down at the end of that game and take the red card.
You did talk about this on Roundup this week, didn't we?
I know you're gonna take a red card and a 3-match suspension, but at the same time you're gonna get a point against Leicester in a season where you're absolutely terrible. I know it's the wrong thing to do, and I know that, but I think it was John Egan. I can't remember who the centre back was, but you've got to think, you know, there are other options in centre back who can fill in temporarily. You're not going to get another chance like this against Leicester where you've been in because Jamie Vardy in a 1-on-1 is going to score anyway, like at the end of the day, and he's probably going to break the corner flag, especially with his Sheffield Wednesday background. So if you have the opportunity to bring him out, and it was quite far out as well, so it's not even like a quote unquote dangerous free kick. Just bring him down. Do you know what I mean? Like if that was a Jose Mourinho team and the term he uses that he wants his players to be, I won't utter that over this. But I think in that situation, you've got to say, I just can't see Sheffield United doing anything because I thought they were good against Leicester. I really did. I thought McBurnie played really well in both boxes, offensively and defensively. I thought Sander Berger looked really good as well. But it's just one of them where they've just come away with absolutely nothing from a pretty good performance, which to me just screams, you know, that as you say, again.
Yeah, it's not,
just,
you know, you're right,
screaming.
You're right. They did play well, I thought, and they did have their chances, and I thought they kept Leicester relatively quiet, to be honest. I mean, especially in the second half, okay, Vardy hit the post kind of right at the start of the game, and you're thinking, right, if that goes in, then they could have been in trouble and in for a long afternoon, but they didn't, you know, they stuck to their guns, and that's what we're kind of used to seeing with Sheffield United, is they keep at it, and okay, they, you know, they went behind, but they came right back, and you know they were the better team for me, to be honest. And then they give the ball away in the middle of the park, and Vardy's in, and as you've said, he's just not going to miss.
Yeah.
So again, plenty of positives to take, but you know nothing to show for it really. So still rooted to the bottom of the table with I think a solitary point. So
and that is a shame because we were so complimentary of Chris Wilder last season and how he got this team playing and almost kind of in a European conversation, but.
Yeah,
that is what it is at the end of the day, and it's a shame to see them do it. end up at the foot of the table, but someone's got to occupy that position, I suppose. And when you're really struggling against, you're struggling to win the games you play the best, and there's no real other place for you other than the foot of the league. Finally, we're going to talk about Leicester and our final wildcard option. They're playing at home to Brighton. Brighton, again, just look dull, to be honest. They just look a bit rubbish. And Leicester, as we said, just don't have... They're not playing great just now. Like, they're getting results, but they're still not playing great. And I think that can be attributed to the fact they're not playing fantastic teams at the moment. But I don't know. I could see this one either being really good or really bad, and no in between, as a game in a whole. I don't know what you guys think, but it's one of the two for me.
I think Jamie, you've made some really good points about Brighton throughout this season, which I'm not sure if
I've been quite critical of them. Yeah, I've been pretty critical of them. And Graham Potter, look, I mean, they tried to play some really nice football, and you know, if Sheffield United weren't bottom of the league, then it would probably make my point look a bit better, because Sheffield United are the sort of team last season anyway that were just basically, they're just horrible to play against last season anyway, and it got results. But Brighton this season, I just think they're too nice. You know, it's like, I don't know, they sort of have, they enjoy quite a decent bit of possession, and then they look quite good going forward with guys like Lamptey at right back. You know, I think when they went to Spurs, they gave Spurs a good game. Obviously, they gave Liverpool a game, beat Aston Villa. And you thought, oh, yeah, they're maybe coming on to a bit of a game now. But then, like, lost to Southampton. And, okay, you could maybe say it was in rather fortuitous circumstances for the Saints with the whole penalty debacle and all that. But, and Brighton looked all right again in that first half. You know, Brighton, yeah, a better team. But they can't seem to defend.
They're just showing teams far too much respect.
They can't defend centre-halves on the pitch as well, and they can't defend.
Exactly, and it was just a set piece as well. You know, it's just a free header for Vestergaard. And look, I mean, the boy's like 6'6". Like, what are you doing, not marking him?
And Ward-Prowse is probably like, you know, when Ward-Prowse is taking it, it's going to get to a Southampton player, so just mark them.
One of the best dead ball specialists in the league, James Ward-Prowse, quite unbelievable. Simply. Unbelievable.
Free kicks or penalties for Southampton, I'm sorry, but the gym.
It's like, you're really just like tossing a coin up, and it's going to be a goal 9 times out of 10 off a dead ball, because James Ward-Prowse is just that good. Right, so that do is for wildcard options. We'll come on to our final segment, which is a locked in 11. This is a segment where we bring in players from games we've talked about, games we've not, and tried to put together the best possible team to get you maximum points this weekend. Obviously, you're not going to be able to get all these players in, but if you've got a few, then fantastic, and we might just be giving you some ideas of transfers to make if you've not done so already. We always start with goalkeeper and defence, as they all get clean sheet points together. So anyone fancy chucking in a couple of names for clean sheet getters, I suppose, this week?
Alex McCarthy.
Alex McCarthy and Hugo Lloris, I heard there.
Yeah.
Alex McCarthy, obviously. Just mentioned at home at Sheffield United. Lloris away to Palace after Palace just scored 5 goals.
Mm-hmm.
It's bold. I'm not against it.
It must be a Leicester news. but I think Tottenham have been incredible defensively this season, and to be more honest, it's more, I don't really want to make a substitution of my goalkeeper, so I'm going to keep Lloris in. Which is very, very ironic, because I made my transfer of bringing in Wilfred Zaha and then instantly realised that they were playing Tottenham.
Oh, lovely. I love to hear that. I love to hear a mistake in a transfer. That's good news for me. I need to climb up in the league.
And defenders, as we mentioned earlier on, I think Ben Chilwell and I could honestly see Chilwell and Reece James getting an assist. I think there'll be so much luck down the woods there. Kyle Walker, I've still kept in. Probably there, James Justin as against Brighton for Leicester. You know, they just probably won't score. And I've also got Kieran Tierney, as Arsenal are at home to Burnley. And surely this is a turn of form.
Your point is.
Oh, true, actually. But surely this is a turn of form for Arsenal against Burnley.
You'd like to think so, but it's Arsenal.
No.
Okay, I mean, just simply no. Jamie, how about you? Who are you backing to keep some clean sheets this weekend?
Well, I've used my transfers elsewhere. Last week I was very critical. I think the last 2 weeks, actually, I've been very critical of my Leicester defenders. They conceded to Fulham and they conceded to Sheffield United. So they're not really in the good books. So I'm not necessarily backing them to get a clean sheet, to be honest. But as I say, I've used my transfers elsewhere, so they're still in my team. So I've got a back three of Johnny Evans, James Justin, and Luke Ayling.
Interesting.
And Alex McCarthy in goals.
I mean, I'm going to... Oh, it's hard because my goalkeepers are playing each other.
Ah,
I've got Martinez
and Patricio. I hate that situation.
So I don't know which one to rely on. I feel like I might well...
Martinez.
Martinez, I would say. Yeah, because I've got Grealish in my team anyway. So it would be counterproductive to have both an attacking midfielder and a goalkeeper in opposing teams. I'm also going to play Reece James, James Justin and Andy Robertson, Liverpool away to Fulham this weekend. A couple of other names you might want to consider are a Liverpool goalkeeper, of course. Carl Darlow of Newcastle at home to West Brom. Ileana Meslier at Leeds. I think he is probably one of the most reactive goalkeepers. I think he's probably high up there in the list of saves made. So saves, if you make past, I think, a certain number of saves in a game, you get extra points. So he might well be worth your consideration as a fairly cheap option as well. Other defenders...
Although, can I just quickly jump in there?
You can.
Robin Koch, I believe, is injured.
He is.
I believe.
He is. No, you're absolutely
so
correct.
So that is obviously a massive positive for Leeds United.
Huge for Leeds, that. Yeah.
And possibly means that Meslier might not be as busy as usual.
But it could also put him in greater light for a clean sheet in that game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just the fact you're speaking about saves and all that, but I think I've put it down for 1-1. I set up my banker. So I'm hoping Ayling is involved, but just with Robin Koch missing, I do think I'm not a huge fan. So I think that's a good thing for Leeds.
No, 100%.
I don't know who the alternative is, mind you. I don't know who else is going to be playing in his place. Oh, of course, yeah. Of course. Woo!
Super duper, Liam Cooper.
See, to be honest, with the Bielsa team, we probably should have like Bamford or like Rodrigo.
Wait, why are we
striker.
Discussing this? We know who Leeds are playing.
We
know who's starting.
Is it Alioski? Alioski, I think, is the other centre half.
Is he?
Alioski's a wing back.
He's the wing back.
Yeah. It's that Llorente boy, Llorente and Cooper, that's who played centre back. Because all the Chelsea fans were like cheering whenever he got the ball or something.
They were booing him because he was putting in some really suspect tackles.
Was Poveda not the ex Chelsea player as well?
Oh, possibly.
Pass.
We may need to fact check.
Remember, there was a photo that like Reece James put up of like him holding a shirt when he was a kid, and he was like part of my boyhood club, and I'm sure there was a lead player called Poveda in that photo.
Fair enough.
Anyway,
I'll chuck Eric Dyer in for a shout as well, just before we move up to midfield. Graham was very good in selecting him last week, and I'll just kind of steal that shout for this week because he's not on the show. Eric Dyer might just be a very good option for your defence this week. Midfield, chaps, who are we backing in midfield this weekend?
I've got Diogo Jota, but like,
he's
I'm
a doubt.
Concerned
yeah,
if not.
I think he's a doubt on fantasy, is he not?
He is.
First 5%. I've still got Aubameyang.
Oh, strewn.
Well, I was going to take him out last week, but then Aston Villa couldn't play, so I had to take Grealish out. And then this week, I do actually fancy Arsenal to turn it around against Burnley. You'd have to hope. Actually, no, I don't think you will. So it's either going to be Aubameyang or Curtis Jones, and then as I mentioned, I've also got Wilfred Zaha. He's more of a long term investment, though, I would say, than this particular weekend.
Right. Yeah.
Just because I think he's very good this season.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Jamie,
he has.
How about yourself?
Hey, I brought in Stuart Armstrong last week.
Nice.
Obviously, didn't really do anything against Brighton, but a home game against Sheffield United. Not so much for goals, but I think potentially for assists. I think I think Southampton will look very good going forward so far this season. I think the reintroduction of Danny Ings will be huge for them going forward. Obviously, if they play 4-4-2, which I hope they do, Armstrong will presumably be out on the right, which you know isn't really his favourite position anymore. He likes to be more central, but I think hopefully he can kind of get wide and supply some crosses into the box for Ings and Adams. So I think he's good for an assist. I've also got Diogo Jota. I brought him in this week, ironically, and now he is a doubt. But that, to be fair, I deserve all I get because I think I've done it before the Champions League game. So that's why you don't do that,
fool!
Listeners.
You big fool!
De Bruyne is also in my midfield, and I fancy Heung-Min Son to bag a goal away at Crystal Palace.
Yeah, Son's in my midfield. Son's he's back after a week out, and I kind of regret not having him in after scoring and assisting against Arsenal last weekend. But free hit did we all right, so it's not been too big a miss. My midfield is still subject to change because I need to get Rodriguez out of there. Grealish is in there, Harvey Barnes is in there, Son is in there. Eberechi Eze is in there. I would quite like to move him on, but I'm already going to take a 4-point hit in my team this weekend because I need to replace two injured players and one of them is in my midfield, so he will be remaining at least for this week. And I'm not entirely sure. I may well take a punt on Jared Bowen for my last midfielder. Away to Leeds, Jared Bowen has been probably one of West Ham's more influential players. Yeah, threatening players, definitely. I could put all chips on Pablo Fornals just to
don't know why
push the boat out a bit more. Another couple of names. I think Grealish is going to do quite well this weekend. Bruno's obviously a massive influential factor in Man United's team. Alisson Maximan, I feel like, could potentially have a good game if he's playing against West Brom. I feel like anyone could probably have a good game if they're playing West Brom realistically. But, yeah, so there's a few names for you to consider for your team in midfield. Strikers. I've got Werner. I know Struan's got Werner. Jamie, have you still got Werner? Or did you ever have Werner?
I did have Werner, but I believe I took him out a fortnight ago now. So I have Jamie Vardy. He was a man who replaced Timo Werner. So I've got Captain Vardy. I captained him last week, and I am contemplating whether to keep him with the armband or hand it over to one of his strike partners, Daniel Ings.
Sir Daniel Ings.
Calvert-Lewin's also in there, but I don't really know why, to be honest. I do, as I said earlier, I do think Everton will score, and I think he probably could play a part, but I think Calvert-Lewin is somebody that I probably will be trying to move on relatively soon.
Okay.
My bench is a little weak, kind of hence why there's a couple of players that are in there that I haven't really fancying to do that well for me this week. Well, Sparkley will be coming back next week. Tarik Lamptey's also on the bench, but I do think Brighton could actually get a bit of a do in this weekend. And yeah. Jimmy Dunn is my third.
Jimmy Dunn!
need to get rid of him, I think, because there was a time where I thought he was going to come into the team. He seems to do all right, actually. He scored against Leicester. I think they got beat like 5-2 or something. But that was when Burnley weren't doing... That wasn't when Burnley were doing very well anyway. So I think I think Kevin Long or somebody was Oh, it was Ben Mee. Ben Mee was injured.
And, yeah, it was Ben Mee. Yeah.
They were sort of rotating between Kevin Long, Jimmy Dunn, and Christ, who's the other boy? Tarkovsky. And they were sort of rotating between the three of them when Ben Mee was out. But obviously, Ben Mee's come back now, taking the armband. So I think Jimmy Dunn will need to be moved on.
£3.9 million,
though. So not sure what I'm going to be able to get for him. Couple of flumps or something from Nico
Williams. Yeah, I think he's 3.9, and I think he's been kind of starting intermittently for Liverpool. He played last weekend.
Yeah, he's a better shout than Jimmy Dunn, that's for sure.
Definitely. Struan, how about you aside from Captain Timo?
Captain Timo, I've just realised I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who is playing against Chelsea, and I've got two Chelsea defenders and Timo Werner, so that's not a great combination.
Oh, 4-0 to Chelsea as well, you've predicted. So.
Yep. And I've already sent the photo into the chat, so that's
you not, have those confirmed. I've got those predictions.
Oh no. And the other one is Harry Kane at MBE against Crystal Palace, because he's been the player of the season so far, probably.
Yeah, good shout. Yeah, can't argue with that.
Yeah, I'm with Jamie, though, in the sense that I think Calvert-Lewin may be coming out very soon because...
Everton are rubbish.
Yeah, and I think his scoring could just suddenly trail away off, especially if James Rodriguez is going to keep picking up these injuries. I think this is like the third one he's had this season, I swear.
Third, yeah, definitely.
And amongst our group chats, we keep on saying, you know, oh, that's James out again for this week, or that's James a doubt for this week. You know, it seems to be every second week. So I think that's going to be quite a major concern going forward. So I think probably because of that, Calvert-Lewin would be a quick, swift to take out, especially when you've got players like Jamie Vardy, who probably will be scoring more goals than him around a similar price bracket. Yeah.
Quite a tough run of fixtures for Everton as well over the festive period.
Yeah, they've not got it easy.
Chelsea, Chelsea, Leicester, Sheffield United and Arsenal, and then Man City, West Ham, Wolves, Villa. So quite tough, I suppose.
You
but
chucked Arsenal
then
in the
apart
same
from
as Sheffield United.
I was gonna say, yeah. I mean, apart from the kind of like Arsenal, Sheffield United, Fulham and West Brom, they're all quite tough fixtures, I would say. So yeah, apart from those four ditties.
Ditties.
Agree with that.
Oh, we're so disrespectful of Arsenal on this podcast. Raf's going to come on one day once he returns. And
to be honest, the last time Raf was on, he was...
Yeah, no, you're right, actually.
I found quite a crazy statistic about Leno and Kepa compared to each other.
No, I don't know if I want to hear this.
Oh, we don't need to have it then.
Go on then.
Go on.
So, in the Premier League, I saw this on football Twitter, right? So,
the most reliable source of information, football Twitter.
No, I did check it myself, and it's correct. So, Leno has made 73 Premier League appearances. Kepa has made 72. Leno has 102 more saves, so whether that may be more impressive, you take into that. Hmm. But Kepa has 6 more clean sheets.
No way.
Appearance. Yep. So in 72 appearances, he has 22 clean sheets. And in 73 appearances, Leno has only 16 clean sheets, but 102 more saves. So
yeah, I think that tells you a lot about Arsenal's defence.
Yeah, no, that's more the defence
than
I
think
Leno. Yeah.
To me, that indicates Arsenal's defence has been poor.
Yeah.
Chelsea's defense.
Which we know anyway, to be honest.
Yeah.
Your fact is very enlightening, but something that... We certainly already knew about the Arsenal defence being poor.
It's something you probably expect.
Statistic, nevertheless.
Yeah. Anyway, my strikers.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's what I'm here for.
I'm sticking with Werner.
Back to you again, eh?
No, but yeah, but it's my show, Jamie. I need to come back to me. I've still got Werner. Werner will stay in. I can see him getting at least a goal, potentially. Hopefully an assist. Picking up some sort of attacking involvement in this game. My replacement for Raul Jimenez, who is coming out this week, Callum Wilson at Newcastle. I feel like...
I really like that.
Newcastle got a couple of kind of easier games coming up over the next couple of weeks. They've got West Brom at home, then next Wednesday they're away to Leeds, and then at home to Fulham on the Saturday before away to City on Boxing Day. But then it's only 6.6 million, realistically. So,
yeah, no, I think it's West Brom this weekend. He's a really good shout for him.
It's a fairly safe transfer
quite
to make
this season.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
if Newcastle are going to score a goal, it's probably going to be him.
Check his stats. He has 67 points from 10 games because he's only played in 10. So seven goals in 10 games. I mean,
mm-hmm. It's not penalties as well. I think he's a very good shout.
Actually, no, it's 7 goals in 9 games because he missed Chelsea at home completely.
Yeah.
So there you go. And then I've still got Mopai, but he's on his way out as soon as possible because I hate him.
He never even started the other day. They finally dropped him. So
I don't think he ever plays for me. He's always on my bench. Like, I genuinely put him on my bench on purpose because I don't have faith that he'll ever start. So
I've always got
three
strikers.
Danny Welbeck is genuinely outperforming him.
30-year-old Danny Welbeck is the best.
Welbeck's done alright, actually.
He's been alright, yeah.
I think Welbeck when I've seen him.
I think.
Yeah.
For Brighton, so I think he has looked good.
Yeah. Right.
Welbeck was never bad in his defence. He's just suffered a lot from injuries.
Yeah.
I think he's never exactly like a bad player or anything like that, but I think that this type of situation at this club suits him very well.
Are we going to get excited for having good Welbeck chat now? At the very end of this podcast, good Welbeck chat.
I'll happily talk about Welbeck for a wee while.
Stuart, we're over 70 minutes. We've not got time to talk about Welbeck.
Yeah, no.
I'll lead you into your conclusion then, Jack, with a wee quick question for you. Okay. Two teams in the English Premier League have yet to draw a game. Name them.
Yet to draw a game?
Arsenal's one of them, I'm sure.
Yet to draw.
No, they drew.
Recently, didn't they? Spurs.
Incorrect, Mr. Garvey.
Spurs haven't drawn yet, have they?
Also incorrect. Spurs have drawn 3 games.
Okay.
One against us.
Have Man?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's shocking for me. I've said
we've definitely drawn a game. Oh, we drew against Chelsea as well.
Yeah, you did. We drew against you. It's not us, definitely.
This can't be City.
Liverpool have. Leicester?
Leicester have not drawn a game. So they've played 11 games and not drawn one. The other team has played as one of the teams that has a game in hand, so maybe cut them a little
Oh,
bit
is it
slack.
Villa?
Aston Villa haven't drawn a game. They've only played 9 games, though. Won 5 and lost 4.
Well, we're going to have to wait until this weekend to see if those no-draw records stay intact.
Imagine they both disappear this weekend.
It's a precursor to that happening this weekend. We're going to wrap up there because we're well over an hour and my laptop is on 10%. So that brings an end to this episode of the Fantasy Ramble. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the Rambles podcast feed wherever you get yours to make sure you get new episodes automatically. And follow us over on Twitter at Fantasy Ramble to see all of our host predictions for this game week's fixtures. Massive thank you to Jamie and Struan for joining me today. I think we're probably going to communicate at some point over the weekend how podcasts are going to work in the next couple of weeks, just over the Christmas break, because we are finishing up all for university for our first semester this week. So we'll try and figure out where things are going to get placed in the next week or so. But it's always going to be, we're going to have football roundup, extra time and Fantasy Ramble at least once a week, I think. So we'll communicate if we're not going to stick to that plan. But for now, that's what it's going to stick to. Until we see you next time, my name is Jack Donnelly. This has been the Fantasy Ramble by Energy Sport. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you soon.